أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأصل والزمان روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولعنة دائمة على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي For the hastening of the advent of our 12th Imam Imam al-Hujjat, one loud salawat upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. We're continuing on in our discussion of Surah Luqman, chapter number 31 of the Noble Quran. And today we're looking at verse number 14. As we know from our discussion that we've had, yesterday was actually the very first initiation of the advice that Luqman was giving to his son. And interestingly enough, today there's actually a bit of a departure from the topic. Not because of any other reason except because of the fact that Allah decides to change the topic in this part of the surah. And so what I mean is that Luqman has there's eight pieces of advice in general from Luqman to his son. But after the first one, which we talked about yesterday, where he advised his son to avoid polytheism, shirk, the worship of other than Allah, the style of the Quran is basically such that at this point Allah interjects, Allah breaks the discussion of Luqman, and Allah introduces two verses into the discussion, which although are a part of the advice that we're looking at, that we will be looking at, but they're not actually the words of Luqman. They're actually the direct words of Allah that he is now splicing into this father and son discussion. And so tonight what we want to look at is the respect and the conditional obedience to parents. Tonight will be part one about respecting our parents, and tomorrow will be part two in the conditional obedience of our mother and father. And we'll see how Allah brings forth this discussion within Surah Luqman. Before I go into more of the discussion, let me bring up the verse that we're going to look at this evening from verse number 14 of Surah Luqman, in which Allah says, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ And we have enjoined upon the human being in respect of his parents. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَحْنًا عَلَى وَحْنٍ His mother bears this child with difficulties upon difficulties. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ And the weaning of this child takes 2 years. أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ Allah says, be grateful to me and to both of your parents, your mother and your father. And know that to me, to Allah, is your eventual coming back. So here's where we see that this advice is not directed in the words of Luqman to his son. You know, yesterday we had this waqala Luqman libnihi, where Luqman said to his dear son, Ya Bunayya. But now Allah is changing the course. And again, you know, sometimes when we read the Quran, and especially if we haven't been close to the Quran, you know, reading it in the Arabic and studying Quran, when we come across these things in the Quran, it sometimes throws us off because we're reading something in the first person speaking, and then all of a sudden Allah goes and changes things. And for many people, when we read the Quran, because it's a non-linear book, it doesn't start like the Bible. You know, Genesis in the Bible, God talks about there being nothing, and then God created the Word, and then the Word became light, and then so on and so forth, you know, the creation of the universe. And then it goes through all of the prophets in chronological order. But the Quran doesn't do that. And sometimes when people read the Quran, even Muslims, we get perplexed. Why was Allah talking about one theme, let's say about what is and isn't allowed to be eaten for Muslims, what we can consume, and then all of a sudden Allah goes up and changes the entire topic. And then Allah returns back to the main theme. So this is one of the things that as Muslims and as people who are wanting to understand the Quran, we have to get used to, that Allah does this many times. Maybe it's to keep our attention, to keep us focused on what we're reading. And there's probably other reasons why. But Allah does this here where now He's interjecting in the middle of Luqman's speech. And Allah says, we have enjoined upon the human being in respect to both of his parents. But then what does Allah do? Allah singles out the mother. Not that the father isn't important. Obviously, the fathers are important. I don't want to make us feel that we're just worthless. We just do nothing. But Allah says that, let me focus on the mother now. Let me focus on the women of the community, Allah is saying. Because obviously the women are the mothers who have to carry a child for 9 months. Right? They're the ones who are going through all that physical hardship in carrying the baby, in delivery, you know, which many times women, especially in the past, maybe not so much more today, but in the past, many women would die in childbirth before all the modern medicine had given us all of the blessings of technology. You know, women were at a such a susceptible, point in their life of losing their life by giving birth. And so Allah says that the mother bears the child with difficulty upon difficulty, right? It's multiple levels of challenge that a mother goes through when she's carrying the child. And then Allah says, and this weaning of the child is a 2-year process. So those mothers that breastfeed, that want to provide that form of nourishment to their child, it's not just, you know, one day or a week or a month. This is a long, drawn-out process that the mother goes through. And many times we know that our wives, they will take a leave of absence from work. Maybe they'll leave their career completely to dedicate to the family. Maybe some will go back, whatever, that's obviously each individual's prerogative to do as they wish. But Allah showing us that the mother has a central role within the family unit, within the family structure. And then after Allah says this, He says something interesting. He says that, be grateful to me and to your parents. Right? Allah says, be thankful to Allah for all that you have been given. But don't forget your parents, that they have done so much for you. Right? When you're a baby, you know, we're told in the hadith, and I don't want to divert too much from my topic, but this hadith came to mind. One of the hadith tells us that one of the companions comes to one of the imams. And he tells the imam, he says, I carried my mother on my shoulders in the Hajj. Literally, he put his mother on his shoulders and did the tawaf 7 times with his mother on his back. He went to Safa Marwa with his mother on his back. He asked the imam, he says, Yabna Rasulillah, O son of the messenger, have I repaid my mother for her, what she did when I was a child? You know what the imam replied? He says, all of that you did in that Hajj, that would not even repay your mother for one time when she moved your cradle to put you to sleep. Just rocking the cradle once, he said that you carrying her on your back, that wouldn't even repay her for one time that she rocked your cradle. So the status of the mother is tremendous in Islam, and the status of the father. But again, Allah singles out the mother in this discussion, in this particular verse today. Allah talks about parents in many verses of the Quran. There are at least 5 verses where Allah talks about the parents. I won't give you the entire text. You can look on the online if you want to refer to the verses. But in Surah Baqarah, verse 83, the gist of the verse is, be kind to your parents. Surah number 4, Surah Nisa, verse 36, the gist of the verse, be kind to your parents. Surah number 6, verse 151, be good to your parents. And then the most descriptive verse, other than Surah Luqman, is Surah Bani Israel 17, verse number 23, where Allah says, not only be good to your parents, but if they get old and you're still alive, don't talk back to them, nor disrespect them. Let me just zoom in on this verse for a second, just to see how Allah presents the role of the parents within chapter number 17. And Allah says, and your Lord has decreed, he's passed an obligation, he's passed an ordinance upon us, an obligation on us, that you worship none but him. Again, shirk is always at the pinnacle of Allah's discussion, not to worship, to follow any other than Allah. And he says, after negating shirk, and that you are good and dutiful to your parents, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانٍ, be good to your parents. If one of them or both of them attain old age during your lifetime, say not to them a word of disrespect, nor shout at them. but rather address them in terms of honor and respect. Right? The word in the Arabic, Allah says, when he says if they get old, one of them or both of them, he says, فَلَا تَكُلَّهُمَا أُفْ. Uff is the Arabic word that Allah used in this particular verse. And when the imams were asked what this word uff means, two letters, alif and affa, they say that this is the smallest word in Arabic that has a meaning of disrespect. And had there been a word smaller than that, Allah would have used it. You know, in our language or in our ways that we interact with our family, with our parents, the word uff could be signified as, you know, your father tells you, Ali, go and clean your room. And you're like, why should I clean my room? Just that gesture, that thought of why I should do it, that would be the word uff in a verbal form. To just not want to do something. You know, why did my mom tell me to do this? You know, just thinking that would be equivalent to what this verse is talking about. As Allah says then, don't even show a word of disrespect to them, nor shout at them, but address them in terms of honor. وَكُلَّهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, as Allah says in this verse. So this rules out any possibility of any form of disrespect to one's parents. Young or old, Muslim or not, even if your parents are not Muslims, it doesn't mean you can disrespect them. Just because they're not followers of a particular form of Islam doesn't mean you can disrespect them. It is a universal judgment Allah is giving here. He's not saying only if your mother and father are Shia, if they're Muslim, if they're this, if they're that. He's giving it blanket statement. There's no ambiguity. Allah is saying if your parents are there, you have to show that level of love and respect to them. And so what we see from the religious perspective is that respecting one's parents is a human obligation. It's not an Islamic obligation. You can't say, I'm respecting my mom and dad because the Quran told me to do so. No, actually, being a human being necessitates the respect of one's parents. It transcends religion, right? Whether it be Islam or Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism or any other ism or atheism. It doesn't matter what religion you follow or what your parents follow. Respecting the parents is a human obligation that we have to give. And even if there were no ayat of the Quran, if the Prophet never spoke about this in his entire life, it would still be a part of human intellect and our human nature to show love and respect to those who brought us up, who brought us into this world, and who nurtured us when we were small and we were incapable of doing our own. And we see that respect of one's parents is not, it's permanent, it's not a temporary goal, right? And we'll see a hadith about that, that respecting one's parents, it is when they're alive, but even when they're dead, even when our parents have passed away and they're long gone, there's still a level of respect that we have to show to them. There's still ihsan, goodness that we have to show to our parents. And we'll see in a hadith how that actually plays out. I have about three hadith that I want to share tonight. And inshallah, we'll obviously finish on time this evening, or well before time actually. But these hadith I found to be perhaps the most descriptive of a responsibility that we have towards our parents. Again, whether they're alive, may Allah continue to give them a long and healthy life, or whether our parents have passed away, that may Allah forgive them and give them the barakat in barzakh, and give them the company of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhum as-salatu was-salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The first hadith I want to share with us comes from Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu was-salam, in which he is speaking to a companion, in which Imam Hussein is quoting his grandfather, Rasulullah, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ali wa-salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. In which he mentions a point about helping in charity. He says, and Imam Hussein is saying, I heard my grandfather say this. He says, when it comes to charity, when it comes to giving sadaqah, he says, start with your mother, and then your father, and then your sister, and then your brother, and then the closest ones to you after this. And then Imam Hussein says that my grandfather then said, there is no sadaqah, there is no charity while your close family members are in need. So he's showing us a few things here. One of them is the order in which we should show love and respect. Again, yes, mother and father are both cherished in Islam. But in the verse of the Quran that we saw, Allah focuses on the mother. In this hadith from Sayyidah Shuhada, quoting Rasulullah, he focuses on the mother. We know the other hadith from the Prophet, when a person comes to Rasulullah and says, who should I be good to? And Rasulullah says, your mother. He asks the second time, Prophet says, your mother. He asks a third time, he says, your mother. And then the fourth time the man asks, and then who should I be good to? And then Rasulullah says, your father. So putting all of these hadith together in this verse, and how our scholars have explained this, they show us this hadith, that when it comes to charity, charity starts at home. Yes, we have to be concerned about outside of our community and family, but if our own family members are suffering, if our own family members are going through difficulty, then we have to worry about them before we look at other people. And as Imam Hussein shows us, that your mother should be the first recipient of a charity or a gift, even not charity. It's a Friday, maybe it's her birthday, it's Mother's Day, it's her anniversary. Do something good, maybe take her out for dinner, buy them a gift, call them up if they don't live in the same city. You know, sometimes Muslims, human beings sometimes, not even Muslims, sometimes humans, we don't talk to our parents for a month, 3 months, a year. On the birthday, we'll call them up. Or when I have time, I'll call them up. You know, we're too busy, our kids are in sports, and we're in this activity, and we're working, and we're doing this and that. We don't have time to connect to our parents. But yet we forget, when we were children, they would drive us around to those same sporting events that we take our children to. They took out of their time, maybe took time off of work. They took us on vacation. They took us everywhere where we wanted to go. And so now, if we don't have time to call up our mother and father, and don't call them on WhatsApp because it's free, don't just send them a text message or an email. No, a phone call, a real phone call, where you can hear their voice, or go there if you can. But we see that Sayyidah Shuhada shows us, start with the mother, and then the father, and then the rest of the family. Salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. But what if your mother or father or both have passed away? If they've gone from this world, may Allah give them maghfirat, inshallah. May Allah forgive any of their transgressions. And may Allah give them a close rank with the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam. But the hadith shows us that even if your parents pass away, you still have a responsibility over them. One of the hadith, and just the one I want to share today from Rasulullah, tells us that the person who visits the grave of both of his parents, or even one of them, every Friday, and he singles out Friday because Friday is a special day, he says that that person will be given, will be forgiven of his sins, and it will be written in his book of deeds that he has done a good action to his parents. So don't just take it as, I'll go to the graveyard on a Friday only once a week, or you know, once on Eid, and I forget about my mother, I forget about my father who have passed away. No, the minimal should be once a week. Ideally Friday, because we know in the community Friday is a holy day. We have Friday prayers in Islamic society. Obviously Friday is a day off. But if you can't make it on a Friday, there's Saturday, there's Sunday, any other day of the week, go to the graveyard, recite a Surah Yasin, recite a Surah Fatiha, recite Surah Mulk. Make some, you know, give some in charity in their name. As the brother mentioned, Muki mentioned about the iftars, sponsor an iftar and ask Allah to give the thawab of that iftar to your marhum mother and father or somebody in your family who have passed away. It's as if you have done a good action to them while they were alive. Right? So as the Prophet says, you yourself will be forgiven your sins, and you'll also be written that you did a good action towards your mom and dad, even though they're not alive. And if they're not buried here in Edmonton, if they're buried in another city, another country, you can't make it, they're fine, no problem. From where you're at, recite a Surah Fatiha. On a Thursday night, dedicate a Surah Yasin to their name. Recite it at home on your own. Recite a Surah Fatiha on your own. Giving charity. There are so many projects happening within our community that you can donate towards, that can be sponsored in the memory of your marhumin. give money in that way. It's the least that we can do. Again, our parents have given so much to us. If we give even $100, even $1,000 in their name, it's not a lot, considering that they probably spent tens of thousands in bringing us up and getting us to where we're at. Salu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And the last hadith, and before we close with a few points that we can learn from this verse, is about, again from Rasulullah, in terms of the level of respect between the mother and the father. And again, they're both equally respectable within the family system. But again, you see in many of the traditions, not just one or two, but many of the hadith, the imams and the prophet always give the attention to the mother. Again, because the mother being the recipient of the raham, of the womb, you know, the mother being the one who carries us for all that time, the one who is, you know, so close to losing her life in that period, that again, the Messenger of Allah shows us her level of respect. And this hadith, it's very interesting. One of our scholars in Qum, Ayatollah Jawadi Amali, he mentioned this in his recent book called Mafatihul Hayat. He quotes this hadith when he talks about the level of respect of the mother. And he quotes the hadith from the Prophet, where the Prophet says, if you're performing your recommended prayers, your mustahab salat, maybe namaz ashab, namaz ghufayla, maybe the nafila, and your father calls you, he says, don't break your prayers to answer him. Finish your prayer and then go. However, if your mother calls you, then break your prayers and go and answer your mother. Now, this is obviously in the mustahab, not the wajib. That's a different issue. Here in the mustahab prayers, your mother calls you. She needs help in the kitchen. Or maybe she needs to get something, or she's looking for something in the basement, and you hear her calling. You're in the middle of a mustahab prayer. You should break it and go and respond to what your mother is asking for. Leave that prayer and go and see what your mother wants. In fact, even in the hadith, and you can look in the risala of the marja that you follow, that even when it comes to acts like fasting, other than Ramadan, if it's a mustahab fast, you actually need the permission of your parents to do a mustahab fast. And if you keep a mustahab fast and your mom and dad aren't happy with it because they're worried about your health, you might get sick, you won't be able to function, it actually becomes haram to fast that day. You can refer to the maraja, this fatwa is clear in the books, that if they're not happy, then Allah is not happy, because Allah's happiness, again, is in the happiness of the parents. And if our parents don't want us to do a recommended action, we have to honor that, we have to respect their wish, and we have to leave that. And inshallah, leaving that action is in itself a reward, right? So fasting is a reward because you're obeying Allah. But refraining from something your parents wouldn't like you to do because Allah had instructed that is also obeying Allah. So at the end of the day, you're equal. You've either fasted and gotten a reward, or you haven't fasted and you've gotten a reward. In either case, your reward is there with Allah. So it makes no difference at the end of the day. Salu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And we'll end with three last points from this verse. There are many points. I just wanted to summarize them into three points for today. One is that every single human being, no matter what status they reach or what conditions prevail, they're always indebted to their parents, right? Whether you're 6 years old and your parents are 40, or you're 40 years old and your parents are 80, or you're 80 years old and your mother is 110 years old, it doesn't matter. You're still indebted to your parents, your mother and your father, even if you're a senior citizen yourself. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference whether they're, multimillionaires just like you are, right? It's not a matter of the money. It's a matter of the status of the parents. So still give them gifts, even if they're multimillionaires. It makes no difference whether they're alive, whether they have passed away. Again, in any condition we find them in, we still have to be indebted to our mother and father. We also see that those who exert and put forth extra effort, they always have to be recognized and given extra special attention in society, not just parents, but even people in general, right? Even if we're looking at it at a level of an organization, an institution, a community, those who are working harder, obviously they deserve more recognition. They deserve a plaque, an award. They might not want that plaque for serving the community because that's not why they did it. But as human beings, you and I should realize our responsibility. Somebody does something good, yeah, we pat them on the back and say thank you. But sometimes that's not enough. You know, sometimes in order to encourage others within a community, we sometimes have to single out those who are going above and beyond the call of duty and recognize them as outstanding volunteers, as, you know, extra special helpers in the community, because that will help encourage them, although they might not need that encouragement, but it will hopefully encourage other people that, hey, look, you know, the community cares. You know, we care about our volunteers. We care about our members. And so we have to keep this in mind, that we always have to be sure that we give those people who deserve that recognition, we give them their due respect within the community. Not because they want it, but because we are obligated to respect and honor people. And as the hadith tells us from Rasulullah, that those who do not respect, or those who do not honor Allah's creations, they haven't honored Allah. So if you don't thank the creations, then you haven't thanked the Creator. It's as simple as that, a simple formula. If you want to thank Allah, thank those who are working on the behalf of Allah in this earth. And last but not least, in this lesson to learn from this particular verse of Surah Luqman, is that thanking one's parents is one of the actions which resides closest to Allah. Because after Allah talks about thanking God, He says, thank your parents. He doesn't say, thank me and then pray. Thank me and then give in charity. Thank me and then go pray a 2-rakat salat. No, He says, thank me and your two parents. Right? So Allah is showing us that no, there is no shirk in Islam. There's no worshipping of more other than Allah. But when it comes to respect, Allah is the first level of respect, and after that comes our mother and father. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we'll end here with ample time before Maghrib, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala